Hey everyone, welcome again to the Game Nuts Podcast. This is Boater.
Sticky here.
And Fear the Claw back on duty.
Oh my god.
Jesus.
We're
not 45 seconds in.
Yeah. Oh my god. We're not 10 seconds in. Speaking of 10, this is our 10th episode, and guess what Microsoft is doing to celebrate our 10th episode with us? They're releasing the Xbox Live update this week.
Oh,
that's
I
so awesome.
See.
Yes.
The newer Xbox experience.
Yes, the shiny Xbox experience, if you want to go with that abbreviation.
I think that's the best abbreviation. We should go with that. SXE.
I like it. I like it.
I think somebody already uses that abbreviation.
Sexy Phil, the guy on YouTube?
I was going to say straight edge people, but
we can... doesn't matter. Abbreviations are whatever TLA we want to use. The big things with the update are user ratings, where you can rate basically any content. If you're like, oh, well, was this downloadable pack good? Sure. Oh, look, this game is poop. So rate that.
Nice.
I don't know if it's going to be like just a 5-star sort of thing or whatever.
Well, Yaris is gone, so we know what the... So, you know, who knows what the bottom scoring game would be now.
And I think it's going to be useful for things like Xbox Live Arcade games. Instead of just... For me, I just go look at the most popular ones and decide from there. But if you can get a rating on there, then cool too.
Yeah. It's sort of like when I go on like online to Flash games or go on to Armor games, and I'm like, oh look, this one's rated 8 point something. Let me give it a shot.
Yeah, Armor games is awesome.
Let's see. Xbox Live Community Games has been renamed to Xbox Live Indie Games. Just like little housekeeping there.
Yeah.
No big thing there. There's account management, so a reminder when it's like, hey, your Xbox Live Gold subscription is coming up, instead of just, surprise, we charged your credit card.
Oh, God, that's annoying. Not only have I had an overdraft fee because of that, I've also had points where I was in, like, matches, like, in a Civ match with one of my buddies, like, right near the end, and it's like, oh, you expired right this second, so, yeah.
I need that sound effect. I need to carry that around with me.
Which reminds me, the lady at the gas station, for the sound for when somebody comes up to pump gas is the sound of Pac-Man dying.
Wait, where?
At Save-On, right across the street.
It used to be Sonic collecting a ring.
No, when they ring something up, it's Sonic collecting the ring.
Oh, that's right. Wow, I've never heard that other one. Oh, that is
I never get gas there.
That almost makes me want to buy gas from...
Even if you did get gas there, you wouldn't hear it because you'd be outside getting the gas. I was inside listening to other people get gas. So.
Okay, I'll just camp out inside there then.
Yeah, exactly.
And be all shady and just like look at the register. Let's see. Avatar marketplace.
A suspicious person standing by the register, just looking at it. Security.
Hold on. I'm gonna throw some sort of spiky thing at the register and hope it just spits out all the drinks. And that's called a robbery. The Avatar Marketplace is launching. We talked about that already. It's microtransactions and everything.
Crap.
360 games on demand coming up. For instance, you know, just download Mass Effect straight to your hard drive for $20.
They're only doing it with their Platinum games, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean...
Which means everybody's going to have to upgrade to the 120 gig hard drive, otherwise no one will have room for them.
Or buy the disc version.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Although I'm going to skip ahead really quick to talk about that. A picture surfaced of an Xbox 360 box that, you know how on the side it says Arcade Pro Elite?
Yep.
It just showed Arcade and Elite.
Yep, they're trying to phase that out.
So, especially when they're going with a lot more stuff on Xbox Live, the bigger hard drive makes sense. So,
and
I've always felt that black was Xbox's color anyway.
I did too.
Well, if you think about it,
have to be
I'll get to color in a minute because this is a funny story with that. But, the thing is, you can get, if you don't need the headset or want the headset, you can get an Xbox Arcade and a 120 gig hard drive for less than it costs to get an Elite anyway, so...
Well, yeah, but I mean, the Elite, you get a network cable with it, you get an HDMI cable with it, you get the HD cords.
You get upgraded hardware. The Elites have better hardware than the cores.
I'm pretty sure they're all using the same motherboard.
As of now, they do, but... For a long time there, the Elites were...
But we're looking at what the choice is going to be, you know, holidays.
Yeah. Alright.
Yeah. Have you guys noticed how electronics, but video games in general, they used to all be gray or beige or something like that, mm-hmm. and then went through a transition where they were all black, and now we're in a in an area where they're all white. Like, there's this.
Well, yeah, it's
not just video games. It's all electronics.
Well, it's sort of. I think Apple pioneered it with this generation. Now the 2000s is that white is the color of the future. It's clean. It's pristine. And you see it in a lot of science fiction movies. Well,
before it was the colors.
Silver before was the symbol of technology. It's all shiny.
Yeah.
Metallic.
And actually, if you looked at pre-production PS3s, they were silver. The 360s were white. The Wiis are white.
Yeah. And they had that boomerang controller.
Japan's getting a black Wii. I'm so jealous.
Oh, yeah. Bastards.
I already have a colored Wii.
Smack.
That's good. Yeah, let me get that checked out.
Oh, I wanted to say something about Sony. I read an article saying that Sony amped up their purchases by over a third, somewhere between a third and a half of the parts that are needed to make PS3s, different chips and things. And a lot of people are saying, of course, it's because they're coming out with a new Slim. But
I don't buy it, because if they're gonna be switching to a Slim, I don't think that they'd be getting, buying exactly the same hardware.
Right.
And number two, they wouldn't be buying more of it. They'd just be more of it going to the Slim instead of the original.
Right. Well, I mean, they've got to expect if they come out with a Slim, they have to expect their sales to go up.
I think it's too
early for a Slim, because if you look at the previous two PlayStations, it was pretty near the end of each system's life cycle before the Slim version came out.
It was 3 years, 3.5 years with the PS2.
Which
we're coming up on that mark here soon.
The
3 year. Because the PS2 and PS3 are both 10 year cycle. The PS2 is still in its life cycle. They're still releasing stuff for it. They're still supporting it.
Yeah. Well, no one knew that was gonna happen, but.
But we've talked about it. Let's not beat that dead horse.
Yeah.
Wow, that is dead. back to the Xbox Live update really quick, and I'll finish up. Better navigation with massive air quotes. There's going to be new navigation. We'll see how it works. Easier party management. Easier to invite people to the party, I guess, even though it's really simple.
There's a little bit of redundantness there. You have to invite somebody to the party, and then you have to invite them to the game.
Okay, this is true. Automatic rejoin if you disconnect from the party. That's nice.
Needed.
Say we both boot up Perfect Dark, and one of us is like, oh, look, it needs an upgrade, and it would kick from the party.
Which has happened to us several times.
And then, of course, Netflix parties.
I can't believe they're still doing updates for that game.
Netflix parties. I read online that they're kind of crap. That the streaming is so slow that it makes it scale down the video so everybody can watch it at a good frame rate. But I guess it scales it down so bad, like YouTube bad.
Well, YouTube has good HD video. You mean like old YouTube?
Old
YouTube? Okay.
SD YouTube.
Alright, so that's it for that. Someone else go.
Before we actually get into more news and stuff, I just wanted to bring something up to you, Boater. You were talking last week about you were doing Rock Band with guitar and vocals.
Yeah.
And having trouble keeping track. I've done the same thing. I found the best way to do that is to set the vocal, change it from scrolling to static, because if you know the song, you kind of know the words, it's easier to just glance up and see them on the top of the screen than to try and watch them scroll by while you're watching the notes go down. So give that a shot.
I'll give it a shot.
That's
actually
good idea.
Rock Band, music game multitasking, saw a video of this kid solving two Rubik's Cubes, one Rubik's Cube after the other, while playing Guitar Hero 3 on the Wii.
Oh,
he was strumming with his elbow and solving a Rubik's Cube in one hand, and he solved two of them in like a 5 minute song.
Jesus.
Wow. How much does he make per year?
He got a 77%, I think, on the game, he's playing with his elbow.
Yeah, I saw a guy play all four instruments once.
I've heard about that. I can't imagine how
I don't see how that could possibly work.
He had the sticks taped to his drumsticks, taped to his feet, and he was using the drums with his feet.
And how does he kick?
He was on easy, so there's no bass pedal.
Yeah, there is.
Well, not he skips much. It.
He skips it. Okay, that's fair.
And no one said he did well. He just played all four instruments.
He got through the song, which then, is amazing.
And then he played medium guitar, medium bass, both in, like, overhand, like one guitar right over the other.
Oh, okay. And, so, like, the whole double neck guitar.
Yeah, exactly. And then sang, obviously. Yeah. He sang on hard.
What did he sing with?
A microphone.
What song did he sing?
I don't remember.
He's too visually stunned.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Seriously?
Okay, no, that doesn't.
You can use the same strumming for everything except for the one guitar bit.
You know, I love Beastie Boys, but why do they keep putting Beastie Boys songs in these band games? They have no real music.
That's
agreed. They're just for the vocals.
Probably from when you're halfway through that, like, entire set list thing, it's like, oh, this one comes up. I can go get a glass of water.
That's kind of like I feel whenever I play Bubba O'Reilly. The song starts, I'm like, okay, I'll be back in about 5 minutes when the song actually starts.
Yeah, or like if you're a singer with the Foreplay Long Time by Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I'll be back in 3 minutes. I was played World Tour with someone, and you know, I was singing for Hotel California, and then, okay, I'm out from this point on. About halfway through the song.
Well, I don't think we've talked about this. The Activision suing the makers of Brutal Legend.
Which they lost.
They did? Oh, that already went through? Okay.
Yep.
All right, well, what's next on my list?
Rocktober will survive.
Oh, we all knew it would have survived anyway, but what a...
Wait, what was the background of that? Because apparently I wasn't paying attention.
Basically, well, you know, Brutal Legend, you know what that is, right?
Yeah.
The game with...
Jack Black.
Jack, thank you. I couldn't think of his name. Jack Black, and I don't know, it's basically kind of an homage to the whole metal lifestyle, and it's a lot
the cover art.
Yeah. I don't know how to describe it. Look it up.
Okay.
But basically, Activision had it on, you know, on their list of releases for this year, and then last year they were looking at their list, and they said, oh, we don't already have a brand for this, so we're just going to throw it away like they did with Ghostbusters. Anything that they didn't already... Anything that wasn't a sequel, anything they didn't already have, you know, a brand for, they got rid of...
So not just not developing it, Activision was actively getting rid of anything that wasn't a sequel.
Yeah. Oh, get this. They would have released it, but the developer of Brutal Legend, whose name I can't remember offhand, refused.
Tim Schafer.
The lead developer. I'm trying to think of the company, but anyway, the developer refused to change Brutal Legend to get this Guitar Hero Adventures.
Yeah.
So Activision said, okay, well, we can't brand this Guitar Hero, so we'll drop it. And EA picked it up. Double Fine Productions.
Yay for EA having the balls to actually pick up new IPs.
Yeah, so EA picked it up and they're releasing it, and it got a lot of, like, it didn't seem as though Activision really cared for a while, and then it had a huge showing at E3, and then Activision's like, well, we put a lot of money in this game, so we shouldn't let you release this.
Yeah.
And of course it went to court, and Double Fine said something to the effect of, if you liked the game this much, you should have put a ring on it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't divorce your wife and then sue her because she marries another guy.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. And sometimes, I was thinking, with a company as big of
Activision... Got a bad song stuck in my head now, thanks.
A company as big as Activision suing you, that could really put a damper on your release party, say. So that's why I was thinking it could have been pushed back.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it's not.
Yeah, it also can put a damper on Activision's reputation, which is all that good right now to begin with.
Yeah. A couple other things were pushed back. StarCraft II was officially announced for a 2010 release.
Yeah, I cried a little bit when I heard that.
I'm hoping it's to put LAN support back in. I was playing Diablo 2 with my girlfriend the other night, and Battle.net kept lagging and kicking us out. So I don't want to rely on Battle.net for multiplayer if it's still going to be poop like that.
The reason that they said that they delayed it was because they didn't have the upgrades to Battle.net yet. completely ready. That's why they wanted to make with a game like StarCraft, online multiplayer,
it's going to get swamped. Battle.net will not, in the end, be able to handle it 100%. And even if, you know, it's 0.5% of people timing out of Battle.net, that's still a huge amount of people that may have been able to play on a LAN.
I read some analysts said that they were expecting anywhere from 12 to 16 million StarCraft 2 sales.
Doesn't surprise me.
That's ridiculous.
Half of all those are in Korea.
Yeah, agreed. It's their national sport.
The other one that got pushed back is that Scratch Ultimate DJ got a new developer, and is being pushed back to 2010 as well.
Another game that's being sued by Activision.
Yeah.
Activision's suing them because it's too similar to their upcoming DJ Hero.
Because Rock Band and Guitar Hero World Tour are
Nothing similar
there. Rock Band comes out and then World Tour is like, oh yeah, we can do that. No, that's probably going to get left out too. It's a different peripheral, different sort of gameplay, different visual style. Pretty much, I really hope that Activision tries to keep this up and then it just blows up in their face.
Yeah.
I personally would not cry if Activision as a publisher went out of business because of general dickery.
I would because they are merged with Blizzard.
Yeah.
And I am a Blizzard fanboy.
Blizzard, jump ship.
Yeah,
Blizzard would jump ship. Blizzard is just there for the money. You want to join with us and help us pay to make our games? Well, I mean, we're already, you know, rolling in dough anyway, but yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, Blizzard, you guys are being jerks to the rest of the industry? All right, see ya.
I wouldn't be surprised if Blizzard split ways if Activision kept up the dickery.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. We all criticize EA for all their problems, the sequelitis and all that, but you know what? EA was never this bad. They were never suing people left and right.
No.
I mean, when we said that they kind of switched roles, that Activision just went that extra step further to be like, okay, we are the kings of the industry. Like that whole comment they made about, oh, well, if the PS3 sales don't get better, we'll stop supporting them.
Silly, silly Bobby Kotick.
And I think people were up in arms because I think it was the Activision exec that said, oh yeah, if I could raise the price of games, I would.
Yep.
It was taken out of context, though. He was talking about like music games with included peripherals.
I did read that.
Already too expensive to begin with.
Tony Hawk Ride is what, $100?
$170 they were gonna make it.
$170, $150.
Yeah.
$100, I'd be willing to try it for. $170, no thanks. I bought a game a few years ago, $170, came with a great game with infinitely expandable content and three brand new peripherals. It's called Rock Band. $170.
Yep.
I don't think I can justify paying $170 for a
Tony Hawk game.
Yeah, for a Tony Hawk game and a plastic skateboard.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Wii can do it for $100, why can't Activision?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I have a few games I've been playing this week that I'd like to talk about. I've actually gotten on this arcade sort of kick. And my first one is Splosion Man.
You talked about this last week, I remember.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and I was incredibly bored last night, so I went and actually paid for getting it, and we played it some last night.
Yeah,
and it was awesome.
It's fun, and it's really, you need a lot of coordination for it, and it's unforgiving.
And a lack of lag. We got lagged out on the boss battle. I went and did that.
Oh yeah, I heard that online co-op is terrible.
Actually, we had no problem the first 15 levels until we got to the boss level.
Yeah,
I've heard that lag and just like popping in and out is a lot of maybe they've patched it since then, but
with 15 levels we had no problem, and then the boss battle, it got horrific, and that's where we
it
stopped.
Was like all the karma adding up.
That's okay, because I'd rather do couch co-op anyway, you know.
Oh yeah, but I mean, you know, we live 25 minutes apart. Couch co-op is a little bit,
and
yeah.
It was like what, 1:30 in the morning when we decided to play.
Yeah, I'm like, it's 1 o'clock, I'm gonna go to bed. Oh, he signed on, how about playing some? And we played for like an hour, so
yeah. And then I think you said you're like, oh, I'm gonna quit after this level, and like,
and well, like go to bed so I have enough time for like breakfast in the morning. And then
six levels later,
you had breakfast.
Oh, no, I meant after the zone. After zone one.
Oh, alright.
Not
I'm gonna have to go home and play this now. I downloaded the demo because I've heard so many people talking about it, and I just gotta give it a try for myself.
It's entertaining.
What I'm probably gonna spend my money on this week, though, is Marvel vs. Capcom 2, so...
I played it, and, I don't know, it's the same game. It's the same game I played, like, 8 years ago.
See, I'd never played it before, so it's new to me.
Oh, alright. I mean, if you're into the 2D fighters, there's not too many that are better. So, try it out.
My friend and I tried the demo, and we had a blast. We were figured, oh, we'll just play this for about, 20 minutes, and then move on to something else. We ended up playing it for a little over an hour, because it was just that much fun, with only 6 characters.
The other thing, 6 characters in a demo, that's more than you usually get.
Yeah.
And it was
I was surprised they actually had a local multiplayer, because I'm pretty sure, the Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix didn't have local multiplayer.
I just love
trying to say that in one breath.
You gotta stop talking about that game, because that takes up like a third of the podcast just saying its title.
Yeah.
We'll just call it the game.
I could just call it SSF2THDR.
Oh, that's even worse. Then the other thing I've been playing is Fat Princess.
Mm-hmm.
Ton of fun. Ridiculously fun. It's basically capture the flag with a flag that's a girl that you can make incredibly fat. It is as funny as that sounds. Let's just put it this way. For the menus, there's 4 things in the menus. The first one is play with yourself. Play with others, and then for the options, it's called twiddly knobs, which...
Okay, you know what, the first two could be considered sly innuendos, that just pushes it straight into...
No, it doesn't, you're playing with, like, these little setting knobs, like, on an equalizer or something, it's like...
You're dirty.
And all of the humor that way is that way, and it's awesome. There's 5 different classes, mage, warrior, archer... priest and worker.
That's totally 4, isn't it?
That's... No, that's 5.
You said 4. There's 4 classes.
Oh, well, I don't really count the worker as a class. Okay. Even though they are.
Hey, I'm working class.
Alright,
let's face it, we're all working class.
Yeah.
Let's face it, none of us has ever actually worked a day in our lives.
Yeah. I resent that. I worked in a restaurant.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah. And it's just so good. Like, all the classes are balanced. It's a lot of fun, and you need teamwork for it. That's why you can't play with computers, because they just end up all meeting at the middle and fighting there while no one tries to capture a princess.
Yeah.
And it works well online, but there's huge server issues. Dear Jesus, the load times in that game and trying to connect to games is so bad. Like, it took me, like, almost 45 minutes the other day to hop in one game. But once that game hopped in, and that host got set that I could connect to, it worked just fine for, like, 3 hours. And then when the host left, it booted me.
Yeah.
So, once they fix their server issues, it'll be an A-plus game, 9 out of 10, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I was playing is, the new map pack for World at War, which is pretty fun. New zombie level with some new entertaining stuff, like a Bowie knife that is $3,000 that's one-shot zombies up to level 15.
Nice.
Hurt like 10 new achievements, which are wicked, wicked hard. Like in the last one, there's Perkaholic, which is get all 4 perks. And then this one, there's Perkaholic Anonymous, which is get to level 20 without any perks. So,
nice.
Yeah, so there's some really entertaining ones in there. Also, they added a pack-a-punch machine. Basically, you walk up to it, you throw a weapon in, and it spits it back out with, like, triple the power.
Nice.
And faster shooting, more ammo, things like that.
Yeah, uber gun.
Yeah. So you can take those bolt-action rifles that were horrific before, like, you couldn't even use them on level 3, and now they act like sniper rifles. They work great.
Nice. Well, as long as we're talking about games we've been playing, let's see, look at my list here. We've got somebody staying with us, a good friend of mine, so it's been a lot of two-player games, especially fighting games. We pulled out Smash Brothers, have been playing countless hours of that. We played countless hours of Soul Calibur 2. Then a friend of mine loaned us Soul Calibur 4, so we've been playing that.
Soul Calibur 4 is awesome.
Yeah, it is. I've noticed, though, like, going from Soul Calibur 2 to Soul Calibur 4, the characters move so much slower in Soul Calibur 4. Like, I'm used to the really fast pace of 2, and especially, like, Taki moves at a normal, like, human speed, not the incredible frantic speed from 2, where you can leap yourself off the edge accidentally.
Yeah, they've changed it from being more of, like, a fast-paced thing to more of, like, a timing-type fighter. Like, you have to counter and block, like, more than you did in the older ones.
Yeah, and I like the armor smashing feature in that.
Even though you never ever get to use like the what are they, the final
tools
or the
I forgot about those. We've never used them because we're not used to having them, so we're not used to using them.
Well, nobody ever stands there and blocks enough for your soul gauge to break so that you can use that little final. Yeah,
it's like in Blaze Blue, the Astral Finishes. It's ridiculous what you need to have in order to use them. Your enemy needs to be like 20% health anyway. At that point, why even bother?
Right.
But yeah, last week? No, it was 2 weeks ago. I picked up Pokemon Platinum since my wife has Pokemon Pearl. My friend who's staying with us has Pokemon Diamond. I thought, you know, I haven't played a Pokemon game in a while. Yeah, I'm addicted to Pokemon again for the first time in 10 years. So, we'll just leave it at that. I won't go into a long thing about the game, but if you ever liked Pokemon before and have been curious about playing it again, Pokemon Platinum is still just as good as it ever was, but it's just so much more in-depth than it ever was. But
if you have a DS like Pokemon and don't have one of the current Gen 1s, number one, what's wrong with you? Number two, get it. Number three, wait for Soul Silver and Heart Gold to come out.
And number four, get it at Game Nuts in Sherrill, New York.
Yay!
That's where I got mine. We need a theme song.
Sure, we've got one, Pearl.
But I actually pulled out, I was saying this earlier, I actually pulled out GoldenEye for the N64 and played a little bit of that, and I was amazed at how well that game holds up today, how easy it was for me to pick up the controller, play it with a completely different control scheme than I'm used to for FPSs.
Everybody always talks about when N64, if there's one game that everybody talks about, it's GoldenEye, and I want to point out another game. A better shooter on the system. Yes, I know. Don't lynch me yet, but it's still coming. That would be Winback.
Heard of it. It took me a second to recall it, but I've heard of it.
Yep, everybody's just like one different color. There's like a red guy and a yellow guy and a blue guy, and it's amazing. It's a four-player shooter, just like GoldenEye.
I'll have to look into that, but
And I can't find a copy to save my life. Like, in the store, we've never had a copy here.
Well, there goes searching for it here.
Yep.
That's probably because nobody bought it.
I know, but it was just as good, if not better, than GoldenEye.
The only other thing that we've really been playing a lot of was Street Fighter games. Again, started out on Street Fighter 2, and then a friend of mine, same friend who let us borrow Soul Calibur 4, let us borrow Street Fighter 4, so we've been playing that too. So that's my gaming week.
Really quick, when we were trying to think of what to do for our 10th episode, we were looking at like different conversation topics, and you gonna be alright?
Yeah, I'm good.
Alright.
Trying to not cough into the microphone.
Alright. And there we go, sir. Wow, that was a long. Alright, when we were looking at, what could we do for a 10th episode, we looked at, like, maybe getting a topic that we could talk a lot about, and one thing that came up is the idea of what games could be in relation to, like, as an art form. Not just to be, like, all high and pretentious, but just, like, right now, games are fun, and that's all that games are. And I'll talk about this really quick, I don't want to go too much over time, but we do have a couple minutes before we open the store. And basically, like, a movie can be a mindless action movie, but it can also be this deep, thought-provoking film that will, touch the human condition, is the pretentious term to use. And can games do this?
Giggity.
Do games do this? And would it, like, do you think it'd be a good thing for games to be able to be accepted at that same sort of caliber? Sticky, you first.
I definitely think that games are obviously an art form, and they can do something that movies and books cannot. Like, other than choose your own adventure books, how many things do you have the option to kill this person or kill that person? Now, I don't think that they're totally done in the right way. You don't have that connection oftentimes to the characters in games that you would to a character in a movie or a book.
Right.
But there's a certain interactivity that can be different for each player, which is definitely an art in itself.
Okay. I was trying to think of specific examples of what games could be considered art. Because I think, you know, like you said, Boder, the whole thing about, you know, movies can be mindless action films or idiotic comedies, or they could be art movies. Mm-hmm. The same thing goes with video games. Problem is, I think it's going to be at least another decade or so before those games start to be recognized as art forms.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some games like, you know, Super Mario 64 that just break the mold and create, you know, entirely new worlds for video games and are so well crafted.
And that's recognized and within the gamer community, but not by people at large.
Exactly.
As something, you know, like Gone with the Wind, which is recognized as a classic. Even though I look at it now and it's not up to the technical standards of today's films, it's still a classic.
Right.
And, you know, games, I think, can move in the right direction. I think that the best example that we have nowadays is BioWare RPGs. Mass Effect in particular is the most cinematic game I've ever played.
But see, I'm going to argue with that, because making games more cinematic does not make them necessarily more artistic. That just means, I mean, Mass Effect, yes, I'll give you, because it's cinematic, but you are in direct control of the cinema and how it plays out.
Right, and that's what I mean. I mean, it's one. I don't mean something where you have, like, cutscene after cutscene.
Yeah.
Like,
Metal Gear Solid, great game, very artistic, but, you know, there's, like, no interactivity during this cutscene.
A movie that I sort of want to, like, a lot of people, the thing with a game is that it needs to have some sort of gameplay hook to bring people in. And the ones that we play are often, like, shooters, or it might be a racing. It needs to have some sort of gaming mechanic at the core of it. But that doesn't mean that it can't have that sort of depth. In that, like, the movie Taken is an action movie, but it has this undercurrent of a very touching story of a father who is trying to save his daughter.
I've heard so much about that movie.
Me too.
Jesus.
That's just totally random. I'm gonna have to watch that movie.
I even have it at my house. I just haven't even put it in yet.
You need to. And I mean, like, there are games that can touch a player, even if it's just like a small thing. But they're not recognized as such. I mean, like, it sounds a little silly to say it, but, like, Halo 3 has a love story in it. It may not be a typical one, but it's Master Chief and Cortana saving her, and, you know, it can, to the player who really wants to get drawn into the moment of it and not just sit there and shoot stuff, to the player who really wants to get drawn in, it can be, like, heartbreaking when you're on that one level and she's descending into rampancy with Gravemind infecting her. It's scary.
I have an example from Metal Gear Solid, actually.
Ooh, in your face.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, like, turn it off now if you haven't finished. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody has.
Anybody who's ever wanted to play a Metal Gear Solid game has probably played Metal Gear Solid by now, so.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Anyway.
There's a part near the end where you can, like, the whole game, Snake's talking about how he is a clone and how he's dying. And dying faster than everybody. And there's a point where you can see where things are starting to get futile and that he's no longer going to be the man he was and able to fight anymore. And you come up to this part where you have to walk through a long corridor, which is basically a microwave.
Which Metal Gear Solid are we talking
4.
About? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's why I said Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yep. I didn't hear him say 4. Okay.
And he walks through this microwave, and As you're doing it, you can hear over the codec everybody just screaming at you, like, "No, Snake, don't!" You know, and it was heartbreaking. You can see why he does it, and that touched me a little bit.
Send us in your moments of things that you think can really, like, are examples of games that have really, you know, risen above just being fun gameplay. And of course, any comment that you have, you can leave with us. It's GameNutsPodcast.blogspot.com or GameNutsPodcast@gmail.com.
Our 35-minute max window is about to run out, so we're going to sign off here. This is Boder saying have a good one, and hopefully we'll see you 10 episodes from now.
Sticky out.
And Fear the Claws, I just also want to put out a reminder. The Game Nuts podcast is now on... is now on iTunes, so look for it on iTunes and give us a review. Get us up there so that people, more and more people hear us.
All right. See you guys later.